Today on Path of Grace.
When it comes to prophecy in Scripture, it's kind of like standing on a mountaintop. If you've ever gone hiking, you know what I'm talking about. As you look out over a mountain range, you don't see all of the valleys. The only valley you can see is the one that's directly in front of you, but you can see mountain peaks off in the distance. Although you can see those peaks and maybe even count those peaks, you don't know how deep the valleys are in between. You don't know how wide they are. You don't know how long it might actually take you to travel across those valleys to get to the next peak, because all you're seeing is the peaks. And in the same way, as you study Bible prophecy, in a lot of cases, all we're seeing are the mountaintops, and we're not always shown the valleys in between. Now, there are a few instances where the valley is laid out, perhaps with a specific time frame. But as you read through a lot of prophecy, it talks about all sorts of events happening as if they're happening in rapid-fire succession, boom, 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 when in reality, there might be some valleys in between. Let me give you a couple of examples to chew on. Something that I think is very important to remember when you study Bible prophecy is that the Bible doesn't give us every single detail, so we can't have it all figured out. And I'm pretty sure that if you talk to someone who thinks they have all the details figured out, they are wrong, probably about a lot of things. At one point, the Apostle Paul said this in one of his letters. He said, "If anyone thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as it could be known." We've talked about that verse before. We all know things, but none of us know as much as we'd like to think we know. We know that God is powerful, but we can't even begin at this point to comprehend his power. We know that God is merciful and gracious and kind and caring and compassionate and holy. And although intellectually we have a grasp on those things a little bit, we don't know any of those things as it could be known. So we know a little. Some know more than others. But if any of us think we have everything figured out, we are fooling ourselves. There is still so much to learn, so much more to discover. And I kind of think there's a good portion of what there is to know that we aren't going to know until we meet the Lord face to face. Now, with that being said, let's talk a little bit about Bible prophecy before we jump back into Daniel chapter 9. I think I mentioned to you earlier in our study of Daniel that when it comes to prophecy in Scripture, it's kind of like standing on a mountaintop. If you've ever gone hiking, you know what I'm talking about. As you look out over a mountain range, you don't see all of the valleys. The only valley you can see is the one that's directly in front of you, but you can see mountain peaks off in the distance. Although you can see those peaks and maybe even count those peaks, you don't know how deep the valleys are in between. You don't know how wide they are. You don't know how long it might actually take you to travel across those valleys to get to the next peak, because all you're seeing is the peaks. And in the same way, as you study Bible prophecy, in a lot of cases, all we're seeing are the mountaintops, and we're not always shown the valleys in between. Now, there are a few instances where the valley is laid out, perhaps with a specific time frame. But as you read through a lot of prophecy, it talks about all sorts of events happening as if they're happening in rapid-fire succession, boom, 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 when in reality, there might be some valleys in between. Let me give you a couple of examples to chew on. For instance, one prophecy that you'll recognize when you hear it is from Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6. I'll read it from the New King James to make it more easily recognizable, because this is typically how it's quoted on Christmas cards. It's a prophecy about the Messiah, and it says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." We've all heard that. We've read it when we've opened up those Christmas cards. We've seen it dozens of times in our lives. And usually on the card, that's where the verse ends. But in the Bible, it goes on, and it says this: "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Now, question for you. When Jesus showed up the first time, was the government upon his shoulders? When he was born in that stable and grew up and walked on this earth, was the government on his shoulders? No, the government nailed him to a cross. But when Jesus returns, I believe, according to Scripture, he will be the government. The point being, though, that in this one section of Scripture, really within one verse, this prophecy jumped at least 2,000 years forwards between events, but Isaiah laid it all out in one shot. Another prophecy with a gap is Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, we know that's already been fulfilled. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem just a few days before his crucifixion, he rode into town on a donkey, right? But then check out how in the same prophecy, in the very next verse, all of a sudden it jumps forward and there is apparently a very big gap in the middle. It says this in verse 10, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Now, as I look at the world today, I don't think that's happened yet. This earth isn't at peace. The people on this planet are not at peace. It doesn't seem that Christ's dominion is from one end of the earth to the other, where everyone is living in submission to him. So think about this once again. We have a prophetic word given by God to Zechariah, and it gives us a glimpse at who the Messiah would be, a humble, lowly one, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. But then he saw that ultimately the Messiah would bring real and lasting peace to Jerusalem and the rest of the world. But there was a big gap in there. And that type of gap is something that we're going to find yet again as we look at the rest of the prophecies in Daniel chapter 9. Now, we're not going to look at those today. I apologize. I'm having to cut this short. I'd like to wrap up Daniel chapter 9, but I've got to get to work. Currently, along with trying the best I can to keep producing these audios, I'm also working two jobs to try and make ends meet. They're part-time jobs. That's all I can find living out in this rural area. Please pray that if it's Father's will, he would open up some other income opportunity for me, or that he would lay it on the hearts of a few more folks to contribute even small gifts to this audio ministry to free up some time for me to study, write, and record more of these audios. For those of you who have been helping, thank you, thank you, thank you for your loving support. It is appreciated by my family and I more than you can possibly imagine. Thanks again for listening. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.